And I also want to thank our pastor and our Sunday school teacher for the words that they give us out of the Word and the teaching they give us. Some of the things, excuse me, I'm going to say today, as I have heard many, many times in my life, preached and taught, but it didn't become revelation to me until I came and got born again here in this church. My title this morning is To Be a Light in a Dark Place. I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself in my notes, but I'm going to do it for a reason. In case you hadn't noticed, in this country, it's getting kind of dark compared to what it used to be. I'm 62 years old, and I see things happen and hear things happen that I'd never in my life dreamed it would ever happen in this country. Our basic freedoms, all but, if not, taken away. And I'm going to say some things today that may not be real popular, but they're the truth. And in case you also hadn't noticed, there's a war going on in this country. And it's a spiritual war, and it's getting really, really close to being the spiritual and a physical war. And we need to be ready. And I thank God that He has placed me in this place, in this assembly, because I'm not saying this is the only place, but this is the only place God has me to where I can be ready for this time. Now, I'm not going to talk like everything's going to be gloom and doom, but there's darkness out in this world, and we have to know how to face it, how to fight it, and how not to be fearful of it. And God has us here for that reason. There's two kingdoms that's fighting for our souls, my soul, your soul, and also the soul of this country and the souls in this country, America. The kingdom of light is the first kingdom. It's God's kingdom, God Almighty. And the kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan and his demonic power and evil spirits. And every person in this assembly and that can hear my voice and in this country are in one of those two kingdoms. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no in-between. I spent a lot of time in my life thinking I was in that in-between place. You can believe God or believe in God and not be serving God. And if you're not serving God in His kingdom, guess who you're serving? There's only two kingdoms. I know everyone in this assembly I see today, I see the evidence. I know what kingdom we are in. Mostly what I'm going to say today, the Lord gave me to say, is just a reminder to us, but anybody that can hear my voice that needs encouragement, because I need it every day. And you're either a servant for Jesus Christ in the kingdom of light, or you're a servant to sin and Satan in the kingdom of darkness. Once again, there is no middle ground. And it's a dangerous place for a man or woman to think that they are in the middle ground. I was reading, doing some really late studying last night. There is a category of people in this country that is known as the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Y'all ever heard of that? I haven't, because I don't hear a lot of news. The nuns believe that there is a God, and He is real, but they don't serve Him. And in their mind, in their heart, I'm sure, they think they're safe and secure because they're not bad people. They don't break the law and do bad things. But no. If you're not serving God and you're not born again and you're not in His kingdom of light and kingdom of heaven here on earth, you're in the kingdom of darkness. Anybody that is thinking, seeing, or being told otherwise, you're very deceived. I was one of those people that was deceived for years. Y'all all know my testimony. I've said it many, many times. And the reason I said I thank God is because Brother Scotty and people before him, Brother Brad, and people before him, people were obedient to the Word of God in the kingdom of light and placed in certain places. And time, all the way down through time, like Brother Scotty said, God told him, he didn't see this church as a building or church, he's seen generations. And that's the battle we're fighting. And it starts now in places like it didn't used to start a long time ago. Would you put 2 Peter 1:19? No, please, Travis. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. The top part is the King James. The bottom part is the Amplified. So we have the prophetic word made more certain. You do well to pay close attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and light breaks through the gloom and the morning star arises in your hearts. The morning star is Jesus. Jesus is the ruler in the kingdom of light, God's kingdom here on earth. And in this great war, and it's not a war that's being fought as God and Satan are equal. It's a war for us to fight, because without Jesus, we are no match for Satan. The lost people of the world without Jesus are no match for Satan and his deception. That's all he's got, is deception. But he is a master being at it. He can come at you 8 different ways with 8 different kinds of deception, maybe more, I don't know. I ain't putting a number on it. He came at me all my life with one certain one, and then certain times other certain ones. And like I said, I thank God. Can you imagine where your life would be without God? Without being in the kingdom of light? Without those people that were in the kingdom of light before you, that led you to Jesus and his kingdom of light? I don't want to think about where I'd be. Praise God, I don't have to. Because now I have the more sure word of prophetic word, the Holy Bible, God's word. The only thing that stands in the way of the kingdom of darkness is the church. And notice I said stands. I don't mean that as in it's a roadblock. I mean like it is a victorious wall. That is what God and Jesus intended for it to be. Jesus told Peter, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, in the men's meeting, I've been talking for the last 2 or 3 months on faith. And I told the brothers last time, it was only me and Johnny and Scotty there. And I said, this feels kind of weird. I'm preaching, feel like I'm preaching or ministering to you guys, and you guys are up here and I'm down here. But I had a revelation last night, because I've been asking God about it. Whenever you get faith, you are no longer in the battle of receiving faith. And what I mean by that is, when God needs to use you, us, the church, to fight this battle against the adversary, we don't need to be over here on the side like I used to be. I'm going to use me. Trying to get the faith I needed just to get through life every day. How can I be a light in a dark place if I'm trying to just get my own light? How can I help people? How can I pray for them? How can I be powerful enough to get past the things of the kingdom of darkness, where I can bring out the things in the kingdom of light to help other people and lead them to Jesus, if I'm over here in the cornerstone? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. That was the problem I was having. I am no longer trying to get enough faith to keep me going. As Brother Scotty says, that battle's done and over with. It's a done deal. I'm facing another battle from a stance of faith. And praise God, I have entered the rest of God when it comes to my particular situation in the faith of God. And now God can use me, and God can use anybody that once they get past that point. But I want to make a little side point. Everybody just about here knows how long I've been going to church here. How many years have I been fighting my own little personal battle to have enough faith to be in the will of God? It was there the whole time. I was the one standing in my own way. But now, praise God, I'm not there anymore. Now, I want to be a light in a dark place. Our country is starting to become one of those dark places that we read about, I read about and heard about in the Bible many, many years ago and in other countries decades ago. There's things happening in this country that happened in third world countries and smaller countries and extremist countries that's happening in this country today. I started that to say, praise God for the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the assembly, for each and every one of y'all. Now we have the church, our assembly, our pastor, and the people he has to come bring us word, and our Sunday school teacher teaching us the word of God and the principles of God. In our country, how are we taught? We go to school. When I used to go to school in the first grade, I started grading school in South Carolina. It's where my family lived at the time, first and second, and a little bit of the third grade. I remember we would stand up every morning in my first grade class, and my teacher, Mrs. Neese, she would stand there and she would point at the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a big billboard above the chalkboard and the flag beside it, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. And we included one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then she would have everybody bow her head, and she would say a small prayer, and she would say it out loud for each and every one of her students, to be able to learn because of their God-given right to learn. And then she would say, amen, and we would start our day. I remember in that school, above the principal's door was a small plaque with the Ten Commandments on it. I remember when we moved back to Georgia, when I started going to school, there wasn't any of that going on. The Ten Commandments was posted in the principal's office. I think he had it on his desk, if I remember right. But there was no prayer in the classrooms. And my family was a Christian family. That's where my dad got saved and born again, started preaching, was in South Carolina. He come back to evangelize in Georgia. And I asked him about it, and he said, well, son, he said, I don't know exactly what to tell you, just the difference in the states. I'm not trying to make a point about that. The point I'm trying to make is it started in the schools teaching the children something about God. We had God's basic principles, the Ten Commandments. And in the first school I went to, we had prayer. It's been taken out of most every school in almost every state in this country. I don't know exactly which ones. I know Texas has it, and Louisiana has it. The Ten Commandments still in and wants God taught in their schools. I read a little bit about it on the internet last night. There's two or three others. I didn't see the state of Alabama, but I'm not going to say because I don't know. But when you start taking God out of stuff, the kingdom of light goes away, and the kingdom of darkness advances. Now, I never thought I'd see the day, and I do know this for a fact. I have seen it on the news, and I've seen videos about it. Now, I'm talking about grade school children now. They start in the first grade or kindergarten. I think maybe there's two or three other grades or whatever you want to call it before they get to first grade. I don't really know. I know used to there's kindergarten. When I went to school, it wasn't kindergarten. But anyway, they don't start teaching them about God and having prayer even at the lowest level. And as they go through school, they're in school 12 to 13 years, they don't teach them about God at any level. When they get out of school and they go to these universities, now the kingdom of darkness has professors, they call themselves. The term today is called wokeism, where they think their mind is awoken to something. I don't know what. It's awoken to darkness. I know that. And they're teaching our high school graduates just like they've taught all the way through school. This is just two or three little things. It's okay for a boy to think he can be a girl. I'm talking about kids. They're teaching them in the young grades in certain places really, really extensively that it's okay. And that they're teaching, you know, it's okay for little girls to think that they are boys if they want to be. I've got, in sitting here in this congregation, a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old, and how old are you, Zach? 19? 19-year-old. I've watched them grow up. Sometimes they don't know what they want. All, even to this day. What in the world can people think that a first grader in school needs to be taught some hellish, demonic views straight from the depths of hell about this kind of stuff? And not only that, to teach that it's okay. And it's okay to be openly a homosexual, transgender, or bisexual person. That God made them that way. No, He didn't. And that it's okay to abort an unborn but alive child in the womb for whatever reason. All these things are an abomination to God. Do you know what an abomination is? I looked it up. I know what it means, but I never had looked up the technical definition, and it fits. In the English language, it means something that is hateful, disgusting, loathsome, and evil. All of these things are an abomination to our God that gave us, in His infinite wisdom and grace and love and mercy, our forefathers years ago to set up this country on godly principles to where we would have the freedom to operate in God's will for our life. And through that time, I guarantee you, Satan started even before then, but Satan started then making his plans and doing what he was going to do to start tearing our country down. Because our country is one of the strongholds in the kingdom of light, especially when it comes to religion. You can come to this country no matter what religion you are, and you can live in this country, and you can serve your religion, even to the point up to hurting people. Now, when you start hurting people, of course, the government law gets involved, and sometimes, well, I'm not going to get into all that. Y'all know how that goes. But the point I'm trying to make is the kingdom of darkness, Satan, started years ago planning all of this, setting it all up. And now today, which is only decades, I'm 62 years old. I started school when I was 7 years old because of my birthday. That's not that many years in the length of time according to eternity. So in a short time, Satan has started, and evil, the kingdom of darkness, has started at the bottom levels where our children are taught until they get out of school, into college, and get into adulthood, and they've got all of this junk been bombarding them. What do you think that person's mind and their heart's going to be if they've never been in church, never heard the Word of God, even though they might know in their conscience that it's not right, but they've been taught it's okay? The kingdom of darkness will win that battle in their mind. I hate to say that, but praise God. I'm not giving the kingdom of darkness glory. I'm giving the kingdom of light. As strong as the kingdom of darkness is, the kingdom of light is stronger. What the problem is getting man, people, to realize what the kingdom of light is. As I said earlier, this, with all this demonic activity starting in the schools, I thank God for this assembly, for this building, for our pastor and our Sunday school teacher and the people he's brought here. And he has lovingly not let us be led astray by vain babblings, demonic forces, and other things that's going on in other churches. And I'm telling you, I've seen some videos, and I'm not even going to get into all that. I'm getting to serve the Lord the way I saw my dad serve the Lord 40, 50 years ago. There'll be a time that might not even be possible in this country. There was a time in this country that you weren't considered to be weird if you were a Christian. Maybe just a little bit. People make fun of you. But if you're a Christian, people knew he's a Christian. He serves God. If they had a trouble, guess who they went to? If they knew you and knew for a fact. Now, that's another little side thing to this. To be a light in a dark place, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself, you better be the right light. Because if somebody that's living in a world of darkness hears you say it, I'm a Christian, you better be able, when they come to you, to shed some light on them. Because if you don't, I suggest that you get with the Lord. I've been in that place too. And it's not fun. And it is wrong. Yes, it is wrong. Jesus told the Pharisees, the blind will lead the blind into the ditch. If you don't have the kingdom of darkness in you, born again. Every born again, blood-bought Christian that knows they're saved has the kingdom of light inside them by way of the Holy Spirit. Would you put Matthew 5:14 up, please, and amplify. This is Jesus talking. He says, you are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. A person says they're a Christian. When you let that come out of your mouth, that's a very powerful thing. When you say, I'm a Christian, it says many things. The last part of that verse says, they may see your good deeds and moral excellence. No bad language. No bad jokes. No wishing bad on somebody else. That's just, you know, top of the pile stuff. Because when you say, I'm a Christian, you're saying, I'm the light of the world through Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I've been in services in a church to where people claimed they were Christians. They were this light. But it felt really dark. And I was not born again at the time. Didn't know it at the time. I was in that darkness. But it didn't feel right. And I know it didn't feel right. But at the time, I didn't do anything about it. I don't have any excuses. I don't have any reasons. I was letting the kingdom of darkness influence me. But I knew it wasn't right. I don't know how to explain it, but I didn't know it. I knew it wasn't. If you take that and you look at this verse, that means what a born-again Christian does outside the church determines what's going to go on inside the church. If you're the light of the world and you're out there being a light in the kingdom of darkness, and we come in here into our kingdom of light worship service, we bring the kingdom of light. We don't bring the kingdom of darkness. We expect things to happen because we're children of God. We're born again. We all have the Holy Spirit indwelled in us. And as Brother Scott has taught us, we all come together in a corporate anointing. And have you paid attention to some of the things? I look back, I couldn't remember the titles. I meant to write them down. That Brother Scott and Sister Teresa is bringing us. Stand firm. Stand your ground. Discern. Engage. Occupy. All those things put them together, they're synonyms. We are soldiers, servants in the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light, against the kingdom of darkness. Better know where we stand. And I know everybody in this congregation, and I am absolutely honored to be here with y'all. I have been around a lot of Christians. Now, I know I'm not saying this against all Christians, but I have been around a lot of Christians in my past that I didn't even want to be seen in public with, because I already knew people talked about them because of their unmoral non-excellence and other things they did. Praise God, I would go anywhere and stand anywhere with any person in this church, in this assembly. I love y'all. Y'all are an encouragement to me. You give me strength that you don't even understand. And I appreciate you and love you. Whenever the kingdom of darkness sees that you have the kingdom of light and what it brings you, what does the Lord bring us? Joy, peace, love, fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering. Oh, it is so good. Especially the joy and the peace part, because I lived most of my life in a turmoil. Even when I thought I was happy, I wasn't. When the other people out in the kingdom of darkness see that we have this kingdom of light inside of us, there'll be some, all may take notice, but there'll be some that says, I want that. I realize what you got. How do you do that? How do you go through that? How do you get through that? You know, you're awesome. And I know what the people in the kingdom of light say. It's not me, but it's Christ who lives in me. And you plant a seed, and hopefully they'll listen and come to Jesus. Only light can drive out darkness. Darkness can't drive out darkness. And we're the kingdom of light. Us, the blood-bought, born-again Christians, are that light to shine. We're the light in this country that is hope for America and also the whole world. Perhaps you put up Isaiah 60 verse 1, please. It says, Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, in this scripture in Isaiah, it's a prophecy about the Israelites. But praise God, we are also in that promise. That's a word to us and every born-again Christian in this country to stand up and start being who you are in the kingdom of light. It's not time to sit back and just watch any longer. It's time to stand up. Brother Scott has taught us sometimes we've got to fight for our right to serve the Lord. Now, as of right now, my fight was trying to overcome staying up kind of late studying. The kingdom of darkness making my body feel not so good and trying to put me in the wrong spirit early this morning. You know, things like that. There's going to come a day where it may, you remember I said earlier, that it's a spiritual fight, but it's coming real close to spiritual and physical. There's a time coming in this country that it may be a physical fight. And what do you mean by that? Well, if you want to come to church, by the time we get the service getting started, them doors may come open and a herd of army of the light of darkness of some kind of soldiers going to come in, and they're going to take our pastor, or they may stand and wait until we say the words that they think will condemn us or him, and they're going to take him, and if we stand up and say it, they're going to take us. I believe that. Young folks, I'm saying this to all of us, and everybody can hear my voice. The young folks in this congregation today, heed my words. Everything you hear in this assembly, church assembly, about God's word, you better do like David said he did. He said, I have hidden, Lord, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What does that mean? He memorized it. He knew it by heart. Now, I don't mean you have to memorize the whole Bible. But if you don't read some of it and get some of it in you, don't matter what age you are, you're not going to remember or memorize anything. I'm telling you that from experience. It don't matter what it is, but especially about God's Word. And the kingdom of darkness will fight you 10 times harder to read God's Word than it will to read any other book or paper or anything in this world, especially even if it's on your phone. I know that from experience. I've been reading my Bible scriptures before, and I'd read about, I don't know, a chapter or two. I don't see what's on Facebook. I had to fight that one. Or be reading, maybe read a whole book of the Bible and say, that's enough for right now. And the Holy Spirit say you need to read some more. I've had to fight that battle. This scripture is God's word to each and every born-again Christian in this nation to stand up and shine the light of truth and justice. God, when we shine the light of truth and justice in God's word, God will back it up. God and His word are, and His will are the same. This is what He wants done. How would everybody in this congregation, anybody can hear my voice? I want you to raise your hand, I will. Have a very personal one-on-one message from the Lord. Yes, I want it. Everybody wants it. You know what I figured out? It's right here. All we got to do is read it. God's got it for all of us. The things that made revelation may have heard in this church preaching. Faith starts where the will of God is known. Where's the will of God? It's right here. And then whenever after I knew what the will of God was, and I finally got over all of that, we've been here, how many years now, 12? 10. So I spent like almost 8 years fighting that. Lord, I need more faith today. Lord, I need strength. Yeah, I might need strength. But praise God, I got faith now that it don't matter what comes to me. It don't matter what happens. I'm a servant and a child of God and a soldier and the King of Light. I'm going to work hard to push back darkness. Because now I'm no longer fighting this thing that I already had. And I see what Satan and darkness was doing to me. He kept me over here where I couldn't do nothing. And little at a time, thank God for His love and His grace. A little at a time, the Lord said, come here, do this right here. And every time I did, I had to stay close to this. And some fasting and a lot of prayer. And I'm not going to lie to anybody, I ain't crazy about fasting. I'll do it, but I ain't crazy about it. Whenever it's time to eat, I like to get my little, I don't eat a whole lot, but, you know, I get a craving sometimes. Everybody in my family likes it. I love mayonnaise sandwiches. Anybody in here like mayonnaise sandwiches? Hey, Sister Teresa likes mayonnaise sandwiches. Hallelujah. I don't know about my house, they eat mayonnaise. A jar lasts 6 months, unless it goes bad. But praise God, I'll get me a good old mayonnaise sandwich and a Coke or a glass of tea, and I have me a good time. Now, praise God, bring it over in the spiritual world. I get God's Word, and I get me a good old sandwich of God's Word and a spiritual drink from the Holy Spirit, and praise God. I ain't over here in the corner saying, Lord, give me strength today. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm talking about me. But praise God, when Satan's got you over here in the spirit of darkness has got you, kingdom of darkness, got you over here in the corner fighting a battle that God's telling you, you already won, son. Get up from there. And how do I know that? Amen, brother. I'm going to bring some of them words that we already know and love. The Word of God is a light in a dark place, and we ought to illuminate that light. Travis, did I give you Luke 11:36? Okay. We don't have to turn there. That's basically what Jesus said. Yeah, I will turn there. I'm sorry, I skipped that and didn't mean to. Luke chapter 11:33-36. Man, where does time go when you get up here? I'm going to read it in the King James Version. It says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Verse 34 says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thine whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." Remember what I said, you serve in one or two kingdoms, there's only two? There's your scripture for it. And verse 35 says, "Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Thank you, Lord. So we are to eliminate light, the kingdom of light, in a place of darkness. Our country is fast becoming spiritually a place of darkness. There's things that's already gotten there. A place of darkness is a place where you can't see the future. It's a place of moral and political corruption. Moral being the lives of the people living in that darkness, and political corruption being the government doing evil things and ungodly things in that kingdom. There was a poll in 2024 by the Associated Press, taken for out of 1,000 people. Sister Teresa might know this because she likes statistics. I don't know. But it said, after asking these 1,000 people the questions, American people, 82% of American people believe that there is religious extremism in America. Now, and it was a very big problem in this country. And then it went on. I'm having to use my phone for this because I couldn't print it home. We're out of ink on our printer. Then it went on to define In 2015, I couldn't find this any earlier than this. In 2015, under this same subject about religious extremism in America, there was a study done of over 1,000 people. I forget how many it said. And they believed, the majority did, that religious extremism is a very big problem in America. And they also, after talking with these people, defined religious extremism in 5 categories. Now, I thought it was really interesting because it wasn't exactly what I thought it was. In category 1, it was widely considered to be extreme. That means 80% or more of the people. Now, all of these things are not going to pertain to us, but you'll see when I read it. They are considered religious extremists when they use religion to justify violence, refuse standard medical care for their children, refuse to serve someone or give someone service because of their lifestyle, conflicts with their beliefs. Now, out of those things, the last one would be us. If I was our pastor, I'd do the same thing he does about marrying people. He will not marry people of the same sex, so-called homosexual. And he has said so publicly, and I support him, and I would do the same thing. That's the number one category in this country since 2015. Now, this is 9 years later we're talking. How much more do you think it is? He is considered a religious extremist. If you believe that, so are you. Okay, I'm going to go on. In category 2, it's usually considered to be extreme. If people demonstrate outside an organization, they consider it immoral. Preach a religious message in a public place. Can you believe this? I can. My dad preached on the street corners in Dalton, Georgia, the first one that ever done it, and I'm not upholding him, but the God told him to go do it, and he did like Brother Scotty. He had to go and hunt and look and find and make sure he's doing everything right. And him and three of his pastor friends preached for 2 years, and I have a picture of him, at the First National Bank at the corner of Thornton Avenue and 3rd Street, I think it is. This was in the 70s. People at that time would come by and yell and scream and throw a few things and everything, but that was about it. There was nothing called extreme about it. Weirdo, maybe. Crazy. I'm sure they had all kinds of names. But now it's considered to be a religious extremist. You know what an extremist is? You know, that's the kind of person that's went way too far. I ain't got started good yet. A extremist is usually considered to be extreme if they attempt to convert others to their faith. Oh, goodness gracious. I might have time to read all this, because I'm going to guarantee you I'm going to ask you a question at the end of this, and I know every one of us is going to raise our hands. This done something to me. If my eyes wasn't already open. Teaching their children that sexual relationships between people of the same sex is morally wrong. Distribute religious materials door to door. Pray out loud in public for a stranger. Believe that sexual relationships between people of the same sex is morally wrong. And protest government policies that conflict with their religion. If I didn't read any more, this ought to open all of our eyes. Now this, you got to remember the context. This is 1,000 people or more that's been asked what you consider a religious extremism. And it's not really narrowing it down to Christians then in 2015, but nowadays it's coming around to the Christians. Because you know what? We do these things. Even though we're in the kingdom of light. And the kingdom of darkness says, nah, you're just an extremist. You're a weirdo. Get away from us. And now they're getting to the point where, you know, they want to persecute us and put us in jail. Praise God. All right, we'll go to category 3. Often considered to be extreme. Pray in a special language often called speaking in tongues. I want to point out, when I read this study, none of these things were like, do you believe that you're a person extremist if they speak in tongues? They didn't do that. They asked him, what do you think extremism is? This is the things the Americans brought out and said out of their own mouth. It's not the person doing the study that put the idea in their head. Quit a good-paying job to pursue mission work in another country. Wear special clothes or head coverings for religious observance. Adhere to special dietary restrictions for religious reasons. Fast or refrain from food for a period of time, and wait until marriage to have sex. We're just in category 3. Now, as I go down, it's supposed to be less people believe this, and it's supposedly less of a thing, but this was 9 years ago. Now we'll go to category 4. Get this. Read. Now, this one says the Quran, but whenever I got to read the whole article, it's not just that book. And in matter of fact, the study says reading the Bible in public places or having public Bible study. Man, can you believe people? Regularly donate money to religious community, tithing. Got it in parentheses. Tithing. Praise God. Abstain from alcohol or tobacco for religious reasons. Read the Bible silently in a public place. Attend church, synagogue, or temple on a weekly basis. And volunteer to help people in need. I said there were 5, there were 4. I apologize. How many extremists we got in here? Hallelujah. I remember a time when you wouldn't be called extremists. Maybe a little weird. You know, he's a Christian, you know, he don't do this. Okay. Now they're saying, you're not only weird, you're an extremist, and you're a danger to the society. Give you a little example of, you know, I know we all got brains, can figure this out. The world is drowning in darkness. The true born-again Christians, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light, is throwing a lifesaver, a life jacket out to them, and they say, no, you're too extreme, I don't need it. How much sense does that make? It doesn't. That's what the kingdom of darkness does. It makes no sense whatsoever. And like in that movie we watched, the War in Heaven, when the son asked the mother after the things she'd been through for so long, how can you still believe? And even though it was simple, her answer was simple, it was so powerful because nothing else makes any sense. The kingdom of light does more than make sense. It's powerful. I got a lot more scripture I didn't get to read to. I'm running out of time. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, and everybody knows what I'm sure we've read it. I've read it. I reread it. But if you read it and reread it, and just keep reading it until the Holy Spirit just gets a hold of you and shakes you. God has given us everything we need to fight this battle. We need to be past the battle of faith and get on into the war. We are victorious. It's like I told the guys in the men's meeting. If you walk out that door and you know when you walk out that door that something's going to happen, you're going to have to fight. But you know, no matter what it is, if it's a tank, if it's a knife, if it's a gun, if it's 100 people, you got whatever it needs to win the battle against them. That's where we at. That's who we are. And I thank God for it. That's all I got this morning. If anybody got anything.